A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's moving into a new apartment, and the industrial Euro boxes they used during the move worked so well, he's now planning to buy enough to replace every cardboard box they own. We're talking $1,000 plus in plastic containers and steel shelving. And at that price point, he's doing what any of us would do. He's building a purchasing folder in Google Drive. Specs, RFQs, quotes, receipts, the whole skeleton. His question is, what else should go in that system? And more importantly, is there a lightweight SaaS tool that handles quote management and purchasing for a small home business without the full ERP nightmare?
This is where it gets genuinely interesting, because what Daniel has accidentally done is crossed the threshold from consumer to logistics manager. He's not shopping anymore, he's procuring. He's got a request for, quote, workflow, multiple suppliers, comparison matrices for his apartment.
The man is running a supply chain for shelving. I respect it deeply. But it does raise the question, at what point does a Google Drive folder stop being adequate and start being the thing that costs you money?
That's exactly the tension. And the timing is interesting too, because the line between consumer and commercial purchasing has basically dissolved for anyone running a home business. You've got people buying inventory, equipment, supplies, sometimes for a side hustle, sometimes for a full operation, and the software doesn't know what to do with them. Consumer apps like Amazon don't give you RFQ workflows or, quote, expiry tracking, but firing up a full ERP for a $1,000 shelving project is like using a flamethrower to light a candle.
The enterprise sales rep hears, I need shelving for my apartment, and still sends you the demo for their $40,000 annual license. There's a gap.
A genuine software gap, and Daniel's folder system is actually the smart default when that gap exists. Most people in his position end up there. A manual, file-based purchasing system held together with discipline and folder naming conventions. It works until it doesn't.
Let's unpack what's actually going on here, because this isn't really about boxes and shelves. This is about what happens when a private individual starts behaving like a small procurement department and discovers the tools don't exist at their scale.
Let's look at the folder skeleton Daniel described. Specs, RFQs, quotes, receipts, invoices. That's actually a solid structure. It mirrors what you'd see in a small procurement department just without the software layer. The specs folder holds your requirements, dimensions, load ratings, material type, color, whatever constraints matter. The RFQ folder has what you sent to suppliers. Quotes has what came back. Receipts and invoices close the loop.
The discipline of maintaining that folder structure is itself a form of process. Every time Daniel adds a quote, he's manually doing version control by naming files with dates or supplier names.
Right, and that's where the friction starts. If a supplier sends a revised quote, say they adjusted the per unit price on the Euro boxes because you increased the quantity, now you've got quote underscore v2.pdf sitting next to the original. Did you remember to archive the old one? Did you note what changed? In a folder system, that's all on you. There's no audit trail, no diff view, no flag that says this quote expires in 18 days.
The expiry thing is actually the sneaky problem. Daniel's getting quotes from plastic suppliers for industrial Euro boxes. Brands like Racco or Sortimo typically give you 30 days of price validity. If you're comparing three quotes and one expires while you're still deciding, you might not notice until you go to place the order and the price has shifted.
These aren't trivial purchases where a few dollars don't matter. When you're buying dozens of containers plus steel shelving, a 5% price change across suppliers can swing the whole comparison. Kissflow Procurement, for example, has automated quote expiry tracking built in. It'll actually alert you when a quote is about to lapse. That's the kind of thing a folder system simply can't do unless you're manually checking dates in a spreadsheet.
Which brings us to Daniel's real question. He's not asking whether the folder system works. He knows it works. He's asking what exists in the space between I have a Google Drive and a dream, and I'm running SAP in my living room.
That space is surprisingly well populated once you know what to search for. The category is called Purchasing Software for SMBs, sometimes Procure to Pay Lite, and it includes tools like Procurify, Kissflow Procurement, Tradogram, and Procuro. These aren't ERPs. They don't do HR or CRM or manufacturing. They handle exactly the workflow Daniel is running manually. RFQ creation, quote, collection, comparison, purchase order generation, receipt matching, and then they push the financial data to whatever accounting system you're already using.
The architecture is, purchasing tool handles the buy-side workflow. QuickBooks or Xero handles the books. That modular approach is what keeps it lightweight.
Procurify, for instance, starts around $50 a month for small teams and does side-by-side quote comparison with QuickBooks integration. Tradogram bundles RFQ creation and quote normalization into a single platform. Procuro adds role-based access, requester, approver, buyer, which sounds like overkill until you realize Daniel's home business might involve a spouse or partner who also needs to place orders.
This is what makes the prompt weird in the best way. It's not what boxes should I buy. It's, I've built a manual procurement system for my apartment, and I'm wondering if software exists that formalizes this without becoming my second job. The home business angle is the differentiator because it changes the requirements. Suddenly, you need cost allocation. What percentage of the shelving is business versus personal? You might need multi-user access. You need an audit trail for tax purposes.
The folder system handles none of that natively. You can approximate it with subfolders and careful naming, but at some point you're spending more time managing the purchasing system than actually purchasing. And Daniel's clearly at a scale where that calculus is starting to flip. To understand what software might help, we first need to understand the workflow that the folder system is trying to support. The full chain goes like this. You create an RFQ. That's your spec sheet with quantities, dimensions, constraints. You send it to suppliers, you collect quotes back, you compare them, you issue a purchase order, you match the receipt against what you ordered, and finally you pay the invoice. Each one has a failure mode that a folder system doesn't catch.
Walk me through the failure pattern. I'm picturing Daniel with his three PDF quotes open in different tabs, squinting at line items.
Take the comparison step. Daniel's getting quotes from three plastic suppliers for Euroboxes. Supplier A has a minimum order of 20 units at $4.80 per box. Supplier B has no minimum but charges $5.20 per box. Supplier C has a tiered structure, $3.90 per box if you order 50 or more, otherwise $5.50. And then supplier A offers free shipping over $500, which changes the math entirely. In a folder system, Daniel is manually extracting all of this into a spreadsheet, normalizing the units himself, calculating total landed cost per supplier, and hoping he doesn't make an arithmetic error.
If one supplier quoted in a different unit, say per case instead of per box, now you're doing division on top of everything else.
That's exactly the normalization problem. Tradogram handles this specifically. You create the RFQ inside the tool, suppliers respond through it, or you enter their quotes manually, and the platform normalizes line items across suppliers, so you're comparing apples to apples. Same units, same structure, side by side. It's not a spreadsheet where you're the one ensuring row 12 on sheet A corresponds to row 12 on sheet B.
The spreadsheet is a mirror of your own diligence, not a guardrail. There's no, hey, you forgot to account for shipping. Pop up.
That's before we even get to expiry. Industrial suppliers like Racco and Sortimo typically give 30-day quote validity. If Daniel requested quotes on June 1st, those prices are good until July 1st. If he's still deciding on July 2nd, maybe he got busy, maybe he was waiting on a fourth quote, the price can change. In a folder system, he has to remember to check the date on each PDF. Kissflow Procurement, by contrast, automatically tracks quote validity windows and sends alerts before expiry. It also has multi-level approval workflows, which sounds corporate, but for a home business it means Daniel's spouse or business partner can review and approve a purchase without a chain of forwarded emails. Now let's add the complication that makes this truly weird, the home business angle. Daniel mentioned the shelving is partially for his home business. That changes the software requirements in ways that aren't obvious until you're deep in it.
The tax person is going to want to know what percentage of that shelving is a business expense versus personal.
Most lightweight purchasing tools don't handle this natively. They assume you're a business buying for business purposes. End of story. But Procurify has custom fields and cost center tagging. You can tag a purchase order as, say, 70% business, 30% personal, and that flows through to reporting. It's not automatic, you still have to decide the split, but at least the system preserves it for audit purposes.
Otherwise, you're doing what I'd call the sticky note method, writing 60% business on a printed quote and hoping you remember why when tax season arrives 18 months later.
The sticky note method has a perfect failure rate. The other piece is inventory tracking. Euro boxes and steel shelving are durable goods. They'll last years. Should the purchasing system track them as assets? Tritogram includes basic asset tracking, so you can log that you bought 50 euro boxes on this date at this price, and they're still in service. Most other tools in this category assume asset tracking lives in your accounting system.
For Daniel's scale, that's probably fine. He's not depreciating plastic containers over 5 years. But if the home business expands into inventory, actual products he's buying and reselling, asset tracking flips from nice to have to essential.
The multi-user thing is actually the sleeper requirement here. Daniel has a spouse, possibly a business partner. If Hannah needs to place an order or check a quote status, the folder system breaks. She'd need access to his Google Drive, she'd need to know the naming conventions, she'd need to understand which version of which quote is current. Procoro solves this with role-based access, requester, approver, and buyer roles for small teams. Daniel could be the approver, Hannah the requester.
That maps surprisingly well to a home business structure. One person researches and requests, the other reviews and approves, and the system keeps an audit trail of who did what. Which brings us to the actual cost-benefit question. Is $50 to $100 a month worth it?
The research here is pretty stark. The average small business spends 3 to 5 hours per week on purchasing administration without dedicated software. That's emails, spreadsheet wrangling, chasing suppliers, reconciling receipts. At even a modest hourly rate, 3 hours a week times 4 weeks is 12 hours a month. $50 a month for Procurify works out to about $4 an hour for time saved. Co., which focuses on B2B purchasing with catalog management and automated PO generation, operates in a similar range.
The math is, if you're making more than one or two purchases a month, the software pays for itself purely on time. But there's also the error cost. One misquote, expiry. One order placed at the wrong price because you didn't notice the revision. That's real money.
Order the wrong shelf depth because you misread a spec, now you're paying return shipping or living with shelves that don't fit your Euro boxes. A tool like Order.co with catalog management means you're selecting from pre-vetted items with standardized specs. The audit trail is automatic. Every approval, every change, every receipt match is logged. For tax documentation, that's the difference between a folder full of PDFs and a system that generates a clean report.
The folder system is the right call for a single purchase under a few thousand dollars, with maybe two or three quotes. But Daniel's describing an ongoing pattern. He's already thinking about future purchases, home business equipment, probably more shelving down the line. That's the threshold where the software conversation gets real.
Where does that leave us? Here's what I'd actually recommend, and it splits into two scenarios.
The single purchase versus the ongoing operation.
For a single purchase under $5,000, which is where Daniel's Eurobox project sits, the Google Drive folder system is fine. It's not elegant, but it works. The upgrade I'd make is adding one spreadsheet that functions as a, quote, expiry tracker. Columns for supplier name, quote date, expiry date, status received, under review, accepted, expired, and conditional formatting that turns a cell red 3 days before expiry. That alone eliminates the biggest failure pattern.
A single spreadsheet with color-coded panic. It's not software, but it's the cheapest insurance policy you'll ever buy against losing a quote.
While you're upgrading the folder structure, add 3 more folders. One for contracts and terms, supplier terms and conditions, warranty docs, anything with legal weight. One for supplier contacts, names, emails, phone numbers, notes from conversations. And one for shipping and logistics notes, tracking numbers, delivery windows, whether the freight elevator needs to be booked. Those 3 folders cost you nothing, and they prevent the which PDF had the delivery instructions, scavenger hunt.
The supplier contacts folder is the one people skip and then regret. 3 months later, you want to reorder, and you can't remember if it was Steve or Steven at the plastic supplier.
Steve with a V is always the one who gave you the better quote. Now, the second scenario is if Daniel's purchasing becomes ongoing, multiple orders per month, regular restocking for the home business, equipment upgrades. At that point, $50 to $100 a month for something like Procurify or KissFlow procurement pays for itself. The math we walked through earlier, 3 to 5 hours a week of admin saved, that's real. But even beyond the time, you're buying error prevention, missed expiry dates, version confusion, arithmetic mistakes in comparison. Spreadsheets, those have dollar values attached.
The integration-first approach matters here. Don't go shopping for a tool that promises to do everything. That's how you end up with an ERP you hate. Look for a tool that does purchasing well and integrates with whatever accounting system you're already using. QuickBooks integration is the most common and most reliable across Procurify, KissFlow Procurement, and Tradegram. If you're on Xero or FreshBooks, check compatibility before you commit. But the principle is, purchasing tool handles the buy side, accounting tool handles the books, and they talk to each other.
The integration is where the folder system truly can't compete. When a purchase order becomes an invoice becomes a line item in your accounting software without you manually entering anything, that's not convenience. That's an audit trail that survives tax season.
Which brings us to the home business allocation hack. Most of these lightweight tools don't natively handle splitting a purchase between business and personal use. Procurify's custom fields can approximate it, but if your tool doesn't support cost allocation, here's the workaround. Create a separate business line item in each quote. If the shelving is 70% business, you add a line that says business allocation, 70%, with the calculated dollar amount. Track that percentage in a separate spreadsheet or folder specifically for business use documentation. When tax time comes, you're not reconstructing logic from 18 months ago.
Keep that business documentation folder separate from the purchasing folder. The purchasing folder is operational, what you bought, from whom, for how much. The business documentation folder is evidentiary, why this purchase was partly a business expense, with the allocation logic spelled out. Your accountant will thank you, or at least bill you for fewer hours.
The accountant's gratitude is the truest measure of a well-designed system.
One more thing on the folder upgrade. If you're maintaining the manual system, add a master spreadsheet that doesn't just track quote status, but also captures the decision rationale. Why did you pick supplier B over supplier A? Was it price, shipping, lead time, minimum order quantity? Write it down. 6 months later, when you're ordering again and can't remember why you chose that supplier, you'll have the answer. It's the cheapest institutional memory you'll ever build.
That's the kind of thing a software tool captures automatically. The approval chain, the comparison snapshot. But in a folder system, you have to be your own historian. The decision rationale note is the difference between a purchasing system and a pile of PDFs.
This raises a bigger question that I think is worth sitting with. Daniel's Eurobox purchase is, on its face, a guy buying plastic containers for his apartment. But what he's actually doing is running a procurement process that would look familiar to a mid-sized manufacturer. The only reason he's doing it manually in Google Drive is that the software industry has decided people like him don't exist.
The industry sees two categories. Consumer buys one thing at a time on Amazon, needs a receipt, and maybe a return label. Enterprise has a procurement department, needs compliance workflows, and multi-currency support. Daniel is neither. He's a home business operator making considered capital purchases with supplier relationships and tax implications, and the software just shrugs.
He's not alone. The number of people running businesses from home has exploded. Some are full-time, some are side hustles, but they're all making purchasing decisions that sit in this dead zone. They need more than a shopping cart and less than an ERP. The question is whether we'll see a new category emerge. Call it domestic enterprise software. That's built for this exact profile.
I like that. It captures the tension. The purchasing is domestic in scale and context. It's happening in your apartment, for your apartment. But the requirements are enterprise adjacent. quote, comparison, cost allocation, audit trails, multi-user access. You're not LARPing as a procurement manager. You actually need the functionality, just without the overhead.
The Eurobox purchase is the canary in the coal mine precisely because it's so mundane. If Daniel were buying specialized lab equipment for a biotech startup, everyone would nod and say, of course you need purchasing software. But he's buying plastic boxes and steel shelves, and the workflow demands are identical. The object being purchased doesn't determine the software need. The purchasing behavior does.
That's the insight. The threshold isn't, am I buying something important? It's, am I running a process that has failure pattern, a folder can't catch? Once you're managing multiple quotes with expiry dates and doing cost allocation across business and personal use, you've crossed it. Whether the line item says industrial Eurobox or server rack is irrelevant.
I suspect we're going to see this category emerge whether the big players notice or not. Someone's going to build the thing. Lightweight purchasing with accounting integration designed for the 1-to-5 person operation. The demand is already there. It's just currently being served by folder systems and spreadsheets and people like Daniel who are disciplined enough to make those work.
Until they don't, and then they write into a podcast about it.
Which is exactly what we want. If you have a weird prompt about systems, workflows, or the tools we use to organize our lives, send it to us at show@myweirdprompts.com. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1931, a hurricane destroyed nearly every wooden building in Belize City, but a handful of structures survived because their builders had used a traditional technique of charring the exterior of the timber. A method called Shosugiban, which had been taught to local carpenters by a Japanese shipwright who washed ashore a decade earlier and never left.
A Japanese shipwright washing ashore in Belize and teaching carpentry. That's not a fun fact, that's a novel.
This has been My Weird Prompts. I'm Herman Poppleberry.
I'm Korn. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps more people find the show. We'll be back soon with another one.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. Next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.